I'll say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I too want to welcome each and every one of you here, and the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. Truly is a privilege to be here today. It truly is a privilege to be a part of the service that we had so far. It's been encouraged and strengthened by the Sunday school lesson and the songs that we sang and the devotional that Brother Bill had read or had for us here this morning. And yeah, just I guess I've really been thinking the last couple days about, you know, the evil and wickedness that is happening in the world round about us. And this isn't really what the message is about today, but you know, we see so much as Brother Bill just mentioned, of things that used to would have been abhorred that are now being praised. And Lois and I watched part of a video. It was a movie. It was based on a true story of a man that would have came over from Iran and married an American woman, and they would have been married for like 7 or 8 years and ended up going back over to Iran. He had a small child. I think she was four, a daughter when she was four. And he had said he wanted to go back over to visit his family. He hadn't seen him for like 10 years or something like that. So they went back over, very loving, faithful father, it seemed to be. He was very much still into Islam, or was still a Muslim. He had not converted or anything. Well, here when they got back over there, his goal was to get her over there, and then they were going to stay there. And it was just a horrifying story. And, you know, and I say that to say this, you know, we see so much happening in our country. We don't know what God has in store for us here in this country. We would think and hope that nothing like that could ever happen, and we pray that nothing like that could. But I think it's a time for us as Christians to continue to pray and continue to pray that God's will would be done, and to be the shining light and the testimony that we have in contact for those we have in contact with the world. This evening, as Ben announced and is in our bulletin, that we're planning on our fall council service, and we usually have a council message the morning before that. And yeah, we'll plan to do that here again today. And I just always like to read that it is scriptural for us to have a council service. And when I say that, it is in scripture for us to examine ourselves. I'll just take time to read a couple verses there in 1 Corinthians 11. This is not the main text of this morning, but just for us to remember. And verse 23 to 26 is when the Lord's Supper was instituted. But I want to read in verses 27 to 34. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself, so that he may eat of that bread. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Main thing I wanted there out of those verses was the thought that it is commanded in Scripture for us to examine ourselves before we eat and partake of the communion service. And we know that eating of that bread and drinking of that cup is remembering of the Lord's broken body and of the shed blood that he shed for the remission of our sins. So trust as we go throughout the day and this evening and the next couple weeks ahead, that we could continue to be remembering who God is and what he has done for us, as well as to remember to pray and ask God if there's anything in our hearts and lives that we should not have there. This morning, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot of different verses we could look at and a lot of different things we could think of, but the thing I'm thinking about this morning, or was laid on my heart this week, is thinking about bitterness, or the message this morning will be on the dangers of letting bitterness take root. You know, we've all had unfair things happen to us in life of one sort or of another. We've all had things happen that we wouldn't want to have happen, whether it was a financial setback, whether someone mistreated us, whether our best friend betrayed us at one point in time, whether we lost a loved one. You know, we could probably add many, many more things to that list. And maybe as I went over that list, maybe you're thinking, well, I had all of them at some point in my life. And maybe there is some here that had that. But I guess, you know, as we think about that, when someone hurts us, or something in life goes in a way that we wouldn't choose, what do we do with that? Do we let it go and trust God to take care of us? You know, I had to think too, just here recently, there was something that came to my mind that would have happened years ago when I was young. And somebody brought up a story and I had completely forgot about it, but it was something that could have been that type of situation where if I would have dwelled on that, it could have caused bitterness and resentment. And, it was almost like they had to bring back the details for me to even remember. And I don't even remember, to be honest with you right now, I don't even remember what it was. So that's a good thing. But yeah, just remember that happening here a couple months ago. The title of the message this morning is Letting Go of Bitterness. Someone took a poll one time and they said that if there's many people in a lot of the areas in different countries, that up to 75% of people are angry or upset about something. Can you imagine that 7 to 8 out of every 10 people that you meet are angry or upset about something or with someone? Think about that a moment. But then again, that probably brings out the fact of why you see so much disappointment when you see people, why they're so quick to be road rage. You know, boy, it don't take much anymore for people to honk their horn or cut somebody off. But it wasn't real long ago, Lois and I were going down 81, and I mean, there was a couple crashes about to happen. I mean, there was a couple people there near us that got upset, not at us, thank goodness. I don't even know what they were upset about, to be honest with you. But if people were cutting each other off and blowing the horns, it was kind of ridiculous. But anyway, thinking about that, we want to think this morning of the differences between being angry and causing it to create bitterness, or letting go and allowing God to take care of things for you. A little illustration here, and this is not original with me, but has someone ever said or done something to you or for which you found it difficult to forgive them? Every time their very name is brought up, even if it's years later, it still brings butterflies to your stomach. When you think of them, your heart rate is increased. You feel your blood pressure rising. And when you think of what they have said or did, you relived it all over again just thinking about it. If so, it may be that you're a prisoner of bitterness. What a shame, because bitterness does not even touch the person that you are bitter towards. But it will be sure to harm you, no exceptions. Bitterness is like a monster which turns on its creator and causes internal damage beyond compare. Other persons continue to live their life and may be happy and content, never even think about you, but because you hold bitterness for them, they continue to control your life. End of quote. Just some things to think about as we begin the message here this morning. Excuse me. I want to think a little bit, like I said, about the difference between being angry or letting bitterness control your life, or letting go and enjoying life. If you're angry, you could be angry about something that someone said about you. You could be angry with your boss for not giving you the promotion or the raise that you thought you deserved. You could be angry with your spouse for something that happened between you. You could be angry with a friend who you confided in, and then you come to find out that what you shared with that friend wasn't kept so confidential. There's a big one. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe something happened to you when you were younger. Somebody mistreated you, or somebody took advantage of you. The truth of the matter is that you can be bitter and angry. If you choose to take that road, now remember this, if you choose to take that road, we could all find something to be upset or angry about. Or we can choose to enjoy life. If you want to enjoy life and live it to the fullest, you must be quick to forgive. You must learn to let go of the hurts and the pains of the past. Don't let bitterness take root in your life. For your emotional and spiritual health, you have to let go of what is causing the anger and the frustration and bitterness. It doesn't do any good to go around hating somebody. It doesn't make any sense to stay angry for what somebody has done to you in the past. After all, you can't change what happened. You can't do anything about the past. but you can do something about the future. What is the difference between bitterness and forgiveness? Forgiveness means I will let go of my anger or my hurt or whatever is causing. I will relinquish my right to try to retaliate. Bitterness means I will hold on to my anger. I will refuse to let it go. And the bitter root begins to grow and spread until it cripples every part of your life. We need to forgive and continue to trust God and allow Him to take care of us. The text this morning we'll be looking at is in Hebrews chapter 12. If you will turn with me at this time, we'll be looking at verses 12 through 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 17. It says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Looking mainly there between verses 12 through 15. Well, we're going to start out by looking at verse 15. Part 1 is bitterness a root. Verse 15 here describes bitterness as being a root. Think about that just a little bit. Last week, in my message, I'd shared a little bit about sin and weeds in a garden or in a flower bed. If you take care of the weeds when they're young and short, they don't take a whole lot to get rid of them. And many times if you have a garden, or even a field, whatever it is, flower bed, if you got really, really short weeds, I mean, you pretty much just need to move the dirt around a little bit and they're gone. There's hardly any root mass. But as they grow and the root gets deeper, they get a lot harder to take care of. And we want to think about that a little bit here. The root of bitterness, whether you have trees or flowers, you know, you plant a tree. If you plant an oak or a maple tree or any more of a hardwood tree, a cherry tree, something that you buy this tree, it might be anywhere from 3 to 5 feet high, depending on how much you want to spend. But they have a small, some of them are in a fairly small pot, their root mass is in there, some of them are bigger pot. But you dig a small hole and you plant that tree. But if you let that tree, and if you water that tree and it gets taking off and grows, if you come back to that tree, say 20 years later, it has a major root mass underground that has grown, and even windstorms or some walnut trees. We have a high lift there, and a walnut tree, you cannot push a walnut tree out if they've got any size to them. I mean, I've tried and tried. I've snapped them things off before I've popped them roots out, and I don't know what for root mass they must have, but a maple tree or an oak tree, you've got to really work and work and work around them if it's a big one to get it out, but you can get them out. But a walnut tree, you cannot get push that tree over. We've got a couple of them out on one fence where I tried to get out and we snapped them off, and hopefully that's been 2-3 years ago. Here in a couple years we'll probably try to burn them, the rest of it out. A few of them we actually went and cut them off and then got a stump grinder where they were in areas where they would cause us trouble. But going on to that, we want to think a little about one thing that we can be assured of, that every root that is growing under the ground, that is what is coming out above the ground as well. If you plant a maple tree, the roots are, you'll have a tree. You're not going to have roots of an oak tree and have a maple tree above the ground. A good root will produce good fruit, and a bitter root will produce bitter fruit. If we have bitterness on the inside, it's going to affect every area of our life. Many people today try to bury the hurts and the pain and the things that have happened in the past in their subconscious mind. They don't want to deal with them. They want to harbor unforgiveness or resentment. And yeah, maybe in their hearts they're not really thinking of it that way, but they don't really want to let go. So they actually are harboring unforgiveness and resentment. And they wonder why they can't live in victory and why they can't get along with other people and why they truly aren't happy. One thing we want to think about, too, the reason that they can't be happy is because bitterness becomes like a poison. You know, I wonder sometimes we have some chemicals there in the barn at the milk house that we use some for like to wash the like the detergent, the acid that washes the pipeline. And very rarely, but every now and then, they come in barrels of different sizes. And when you go to change the barrel, if you don't put on plastic gloves like you should, or rubber gloves, sometimes if you get any of that on your skin, if you have an open sore at all, I mean, it will burn in a split second. You've got to get it off of your hands. You know, why can't we, and I guess this is maybe I'm saying in my own life, in my own heart, but for all of us this morning, why can't we do that with things in our personal spiritual lives? You know, there's no way that I would say, oh, well, this ain't really going to matter too much. I'll just let it on here for another 5 minutes. Well, no, we immediately run. You get water. You get whatever it takes to get rid of that. But sometimes we see people that harbor bitterness and resentment for many years and let it grow and let it continue to destroy them. Couple verses thinking about some of this back in Matthew 12, verses 33 through 35, says it like this: either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, for the tree is known of its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. For a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So we see here it's basically telling us that a good tree will bring forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree will bring forth corrupt fruit. So in a sense, we need to back up and think about it a little bit deeper, that what we are really doing is, because of our relationship with the Lord, if we have a good and right and good relationship with the Lord, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, part of that, it says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Do we really think about what we pray when we say that? What about our brother or sister that we are harboring some ill will against? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a father or mother that has done something that you wished wouldn't have happened. Remember, we need to remember, a bitter root will always produce bitter fruit. I'm not sure if this is quite 100%, but one leading psychiatrist wrote that 90% of all people in insane asylums could be released immediately if they would learn how to forgive and how to be forgiven. Think about that a moment. I know of more than one situation where there is things like that. If I'm pretty convinced, if they would let go of some things in their past and seek forgiveness or learn how to forgive, their lives could be a lot better. Many people today try to improve their lives by dealing with the symptoms rather than dealing with the real problem. They attempt to change their bad behavior, their bad attitudes, their bad habits, their bad tempers, or their negative and sour personalities, instead of going to the root of the problem and allowing Jesus to change your heart from the inside out. I was saying earlier about weeds in a garden. I don't know, I remember my mom, when I was fairly young, probably about as soon as I could pull a weed, she had us out there in the garden helping pull weeds, and she said, now remember, get them down close to the ground and get the roots, don't just rip them off. But what happens if you just tear them off? They immediately come back. And that's the same as what will happen to us if we try to deal with the symptoms instead of dealing with the real problem. They will immediately come back. Many people today try to change the fruits of their lives. And I'm not saying that's all bad. But the truth of the matter is, unless you get to the root, you will never be able to change the fruit that is coming from within. You may be able to control your behavior for a while and keep a good attitude for a short period of time, but you will never be completely free unless you allow the Lord to do his cleansing work in your heart and life. Part 2, what comes out of us. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How many of you have ever seen a spring of water coming up out of the ground? If you want to raise your hand, you can. An actual spring coming out of the ground. Many of us probably have, if not all of us. How many of you would take a cup, and you don't have to raise your hand, but just think about this. How many of you would take a cup and hold it right at that spring and get some water and drink of it? I'm sure many of us probably would. It's some of the purest water that you can get. I'm sure all of us have seen that pipe. It sticks out there when we go down to Bear Valley. Many people go there and get water. They have it connected to a spring somewhere that comes out of the mountain. And it's probably the purest water. I think every time we go through there, we stop either on the way down or the way out and get a little water just for the whateverness of it, I guess the uniqueness of it. But how many of you would take a spring take water that is from a spring that, let's say the spring is here and 20 feet down here, there's an animal that died and it's half laying in the spring, and you go down another 3 feet and get water from that. You wouldn't even consider it. It would just be horrible. It would be contaminated. But what I'm trying to get at here is thinking about that verse there in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is flowing out of our belly? What is flowing out of our belly many times represents what has happened or what is going on in our lives. A contaminated spring cannot produce fresh water, the same as a contaminated life and heart cannot produce that which is pure and good and right. James 3, verses 9 through 12 says it like this: Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Out of the same mouth produceth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We cannot have a contaminated life and heart and expect to do things that are right and pure and honoring and glorifying to God. We need to be willing to change, and to turn things over to the Lord. Verse 14 there in our text says, follow peace with all men. What's the next two words? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's pretty straightforward. I think pretty elementary. Most people can understand that. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need to forget the past and don't let the poisons of the past continue to contaminate your life. And I want to be honest here this morning. There are some things that are hard. You know, it's pretty easy to say forget and forgive and move on. There are some things that aren't quite that cut and dried and easy. However, forgiveness sometimes is something that is a daily thing or a weekly thing or a monthly thing or a yearly thing. However often it maybe comes back to you. You need to pray and ask God to continue to help you to forgive. And you know, along with that, I think it's all right to remind, and here again, we need to be careful here. I don't want you to misunderstand me here, but I think when Satan brings those things back to our minds, it's not wrong to remind Satan that we've already been forgiven of that. We've already forgiven that person, and then call out to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us to continue to forgive. And what I was wanting us to be careful of, we don't want to begin down the road where we have a dialogue with Satan. That is a very dangerous place to go to. However, when Satan reminds us of those things, I don't believe there's anything wrong with us reminding him that we've already been forgiven of that, or we've already forgiven that person. If we are holding a grudge or harboring unforgiveness, it is like dragging a huge weight around, and it will affect every aspect of your life. How many of us would ever tie a 50-pound bag on our backs and go about our work for the day? I mean, that's complete stupidness. I don't think anybody would, unless you're trying to do some for training for something. I've heard of people running and trying to drag a tire, trying to build up stronger legs. I mean, that's one thing. But to just strap a 50-pound bag on your back and have that weight dragging you down. But yet, how many people do that in their personal or spiritual lives and is causing a lot of fatigue and a lot of other issues in their lives. One thing that we need to remember is what is coming out of us is what is going on inside of us. Part three we want to look at is blowing up or clamming up. One definition of anger is resentment turned inward. If we're not careful, it can be like a cancer eating you up. With this kind of resentment, there's only one of two things that can happen. You will either blow up or you will clam up. Many times when you either do either one, you're seeking revenge, you're seeking vengeance, you have a vengeance, you're wanting to have a motive of vengeance against those that have hurt you. When we blow up, we are showing our anger by our words, using words that put others down, whether name-calling, whether shouting, whether temper tantrums, threats, sarcasm, even hostility, silent treatments. It's almost like we're trying to take the whip in our hand, so to speak, to pay back the offender, those that we feel have hurt us. We want them to hurt as much or more than they have hurt us. We need to be very careful that we don't allow the poisonous root of bitterness to take root in our lives. And therefore, many will be troubled and defile and contaminate others. A couple things we want to look at. We want to look at the opposite of bitterness and anger in Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. It says, "But all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." The other thing we can do is clam up. It involves saying nothing about our angry feelings, holding grudges. When this happens, it affects our health. Many times, sad to say, this happens too many times in marriage relationships, where they feel that they've been hurt by the other spouse, so instead of being willing to talk it out or grant forgiveness, you just clam up or don't say nothing. But it can turn to depression and even lead to suicidal and murderous thoughts. All of this grieves our Lord and Savior because it blocks our fellowship with Him. Again, the beginning of verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." We must be alert and on guard for the dangers of vengeance and bitterness. It is our responsibility to take revenge. It is not our responsibility to take revenge. Sorry, I thought that was a different quote there when I started reading it. Or try to help God to take care of those that have done wrong. Couple verses in Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Says, "Be of the same mind one toward another," or humble one toward another, mind not high things, "but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil, or forgive and let go. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in your power, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. If for in so doing thou should heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Those verses in and of itself could probably be a couple different messages there, but just thinking of what we're trying to bring out this morning, to let go and allow God to take care of things in His own timing. In other words, if we're willing to forgive and turn it over to God, it will be a way for us to continue a good and right relationship and do things in the way God wants us to do. The definition of forgive is to cease to blame or feel resentment against or to grant a pardon. Remember this as well. Many times your anger and bitterness will not bother the person that you're upset about in the least, many times. But it will eat away at your own health and your emotional balance and your spirit. You know, I don't know if you've probably read some of the articles of the different toxic dump sites, I'm going to call it, across the nation here in the U.S. I know they had some one here in Letterkenny. I remember probably 30, 35 years ago, there was a big deal where some stuff was leaching into the wells that were within a couple miles and the water supplies of Letterkenny, and they were handing out water to not, it didn't quite reach down to us, that they were taking tests of wells, but they were handing out drinking water to many of the homes that were within a mile or two of Letterkenny. And it was stuff that they had put in containers and buried in the ground and thought they had got rid of it and would never see another sign of it. Well, what they didn't realize, some of these containers started deteriorating. Some of them was in metal containers, some of them was in other containers. Some of the containers, if I remember right, whatever the toxic chemicals were, ended up expanding over time and started cracking the containers they were put in. The chemicals that were in them started cracking the containers that they were in. But what I want us to think about is some of that. You know, sometimes we think we can stuff things into a can and put a lid on it, so to speak, and maybe even put it up on the shelf. But if we're not careful, I remember one time Jay Lockman was talking about some of this stuff. He said, if we're not careful, we end up having a whole shelf full of cans that are just waiting there, about ready to explode. And at times, he said, sometimes one of them will explode at one time. And he said, other times they'll all explode together, and other times they'll all explode one right after the other. But he said, don't allow those types of things to happen in your life. Another thing to remember is we are not responsible for other people's actions, but we are responsible for our own. Dwell on the positive things of life, the things that will build you up and strengthen you in the Lord. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. There it tells us what we need to be dwelling on. You know, think about it just a moment. And I don't want to bring anybody's past up, but if you think about maybe one of the worst things that happened to you in your lifetime, and here again, I'm not asking anybody to dig up anything in the past, but the person that was maybe the person that hurt you the most in life, that person still has a soul that is either going to heaven or hell. So if we think of it from that aspect, and also think of the aspect of us, our response to what happened to us in life will affect where our soul ends up. It puts things in a complete new perspective of realizing and recognizing not only our need to forgive, to extend forgiveness, but also our need to pray and to seek ways to maybe be a witness to the other person that has wronged us or hurt us. Hopefully, if it's somebody that was a believer, that sooner or later. And let me back up. I want to say this before I say that. The hardest thing to extend forgiveness to a person for is those that don't even acknowledge or recognize that they have wronged you in any way. They don't even admit it or recognize it. It's a lot easier to forgive someone when they come and say they're sorry. So hopefully what I was getting ready to say, hopefully if it's a believer, they will someday recognize that and make things right. But sometimes that never happens. So in closing, we want to think a little bit just briefly here of the first three verses in our text. I'm not going to have a lot of thoughts, but you know, it tells us what we need to be doing in life. You know, when we're feeling bitter, we're feeling unforgiveness, or we're feeling resentment, we're many times we're downcast, we're discouraged. You know, here it starts out, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, if you're feeling weak and weary, lift them up and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. And then verse 14 again, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Just a good reminder for us to think about and remember that we don't have to walk around discouraged. And I know we all face that at times. We don't have to walk around discouraged and all down in the dumps, but to continue to lift up our hands which hang down and continue to walk in the way that God wants us to walk. Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.